Lord, some praise. We worship your name. We bow down before you. We kneel before you. Worship his holy name. There will come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we should worship him. Worship him while we have the time. Worship him in spirit and in truth. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. It is in him who I live, move, and have my being. To the angel of this house, the Reverend Timothy B. Warner. It's always a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to serve under this great and powerful leadership. Assistant pastor, the fearless Reverend Dr. Makessa Holt. My that's right, the peanut butter to my jelly. My husband, my brother in the faith, my ministry partner, my laughing and talking and all of that other stuff. Minister Tyree Newman. To all, to my children, my three heartbeats, my family, my village, and I tell you, my mother, my aunt, my uncle, and my cousin, who's always there to support and be in the stead and, you know, making this a whole seamless operation. To our family, the Groove at the Grove, the children who have served and continue to serve and in boldness, like, we need to honor that and applaud that every moment that we can and encourage so that they can continue to be the great leaders that they will be and that they are right now. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture that was read today was from the Epistle of Colossians, and it was Paul's letter written to the church of Colossae. And I'll be reading or rereading, as in your hearing earlier, from the third chapter, focusing on verses 1 and 2. And I'll be reading from the Message version, and it reads, "So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective." Let us pray. Speak through these lips of clay. Speak words you would have me to say. Speak, Holy Ghost, I pray. Speak, Lord, have thine own way. Father God, it is me that come before you, giving you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. I ask right now that you sit me down and just show yourself mighty and strong through your word, so that if not one be saved, but at least a seed be planted, so that one and all may be able to spread and apply this, not only in here, but throughout the ends of the earth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. People moving out. People moving in. Why? Because of the color of their skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about the love thy brother is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to our nation, ball of confusion. Oh yeah, that's what the world is today. Woo, hey, hey. Might have to get the younger, you know, we might have to mentor them into school them on this word. I got an old soul when it comes to music, so. Because this was before my time, but these are the prophetic words hailing from a 1970 song by one of the greatest Motown groups in history, The Temptations. It's crazy that a song that was put out almost 50 years ago would still be relevant to what is going on today. As the preacher's schedule will have it, I'm in front of you yet again on the heels of another historic event. Last time it was the presidential election, and this time it is the presidential inauguration. And I would suspect that based on what is on the news, that the world is still feeling some type of way. Since then, we have had selected government officials digging their heels in the sand, post-inaugural protests going on left and right, impeachment evidence already being collected by activist groups, cries of anguish over the end of the former administration, assumptions about Russia's hands and all of this, you name it. The world, not just this country, is right now walking in a ball of confusion. As much as we think these are unprecedented events, where history has never seen days like this before, we know that according to our God, that there is nothing new under the sun. In fact, as Pastor preached last week on Jeremiah 29, one of the backdrops on what was happening when Jeremiah was writing his letter to the people in Babylon was that there were groups of Jews that were organizing with the intent to overthrow King Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah's purpose was to give the Israelites a different lens in looking at their situation. A higher one, if you will. Not down in despair, not around at their situation, not down the road of what might be coming, but up to the one who held their future in their hands. Which brings me to this morning's text, which has a similar theme, but under different circumstances. Paul was writing a letter to the church of Colossae, the Colossians, after he received a report that the church was under attack from false teachers who were trying to spread false doctrine. They were downplaying the deity of Jesus and basically teaching them that Jesus wasn't God. In that scenario, you can only imagine what type of fires Paul had to put out. There must have been talks of division, confusion, rumors being spread, backbiting against the pastor, parking lot conversations, meetings, demonstrations, anxiety, and moments of despair amongst the people within that congregation. Paul had to set the record straight by stating that the nature of Jesus Christ as creator and redeemer was non-negotiable. He had to redirect their focus on the true and living God and to keep their minds fixed on things above so that they would not be distracted with the things that were a hot mess, ball of confusion here on earth. Indirectly, he was exposing the work of the enemy in his attempts to destroy the church. If I were to sum up the prophet and the apostles' words and their efforts to redirect their people to a higher agenda other than the mess that was going on around them, it would be seven words that were emphatically stated by our former First Lady, Michelle Obama. When they go low, we go high. I know that I'm skating the borders of using this phrase out of context, but we are focusing on spiritual matters today. Is it okay that I talk about spiritual matters today? We are in church, right? I just want to check, road check, take a pew check, and make sure that we can talk about spiritual matters today. Fast forward to 2017. The enemy's plan still exists. Nothing new. Yet we are still falling for the okey-doke. The church remains under attack, and the leadership light that we as a church are supposed to be shining has been acting as a flickering light bulb that is in need of replacement. We are failing. Why? Because we are muddled down with this agenda and that agenda. Jumping on this bandwagon, hopping off realizing that it wasn't going anywhere, so we jumping on another bandwagon. We tweet, post, IG our opinions of things that we feel and what other people feel, and losing friends and family members behind political issues, and at the same time having anxiety attacks after every decision that is made from the Oval Office, not to mention that we still have a family to feed, a roof to keep over our head, and a need to survive day to day. And if we really think we're doing something, we sprinkle a little Jesus in there every now and then to make our conscience feel a little better. We are distracted. How are we supposed to be seeking the lost and going ye therefore preaching the gospel when our mindsets are so bound to our situation, our circumstances, our society, and the things that are around us, as opposed to keeping our eyes and minds on the one who is above us? That's why this word is so relevant today, because we need to refocus and be reminded who Christ is and who we are in him. Paul states in the opening chapter of chapter 3 of Colossians, if you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Tell your neighbor, at least act like you want to go high. Living this new resurrection life with Christ requires us to do just as Jesus did immediately after resurrection. You know what he did after the resurrection? He left the tomb. Right? There would not have any evidence of his resurrection had not left the linen cloths and the face cloth that had been around his head where his dead body was laying. Whether we were saved in 59, 79, 2009, 2016, or just yesterday, we are living a new resurrected life with Christ. But we still insist on dragging the old dead stuff with us. There has been many of times where I have been guilty of saying, I got Tracy Rashid right here in my pocket and I'm not afraid to use him. Yeah, you don't know who that is. That's the old Tracy who happened to have a different last name during the times of being quick with the tongue with words that are just making it to the mainstream dictionary. And I don't think some of them still aren't in there. Yeah, my language and behaviors were not one that would match up to the Tracy that you see in front of you today. It's funny, but it's so true for all of us. Living a new resurrection life with Christ requires us to leave the tomb. In order to go high, we cannot keep returning to and rehearsing the dark places and spaces that Christ has found us. And we can't keep socializing with the people that can only relate to us when we are in our casket clothes. We can't keep the same mentality that keep us prisoner to the world. A resurrected life is a new life that leaves all things that are contrary to God behind. Instead of walking with Jesus away from our tombs, in our new resurrected lives, we want to bring him to our old stuff and try to make sense of that and fix it up. When he has called us out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, never to return to our tombs of old, because he wants us to go high. Tell your neighbor, we go high. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 22 to 24 states, put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. There's no straddling the fence with the old life and the new resurrected life with Christ. That's why the church is being made of a mockery today. We walk around with the shrouds and the face cloths, and the world sees, all the world sees is the walking dead. Tell your neighbor, say, get out the tomb. Paul then continues on in his letter with, pursue things over which Christ presides. Tell your neighbor, it's time to shift your agenda. One of the things that I love about Jesus is that he has given us countless examples in his word on how we should be conducting our everyday life. In his public ministry, he had managed to address the natural needs of this world by sticking to the will of the Father. He provided natural examples by spiritual revelation. Whether it be in parables, providing food to the hungry, healing the sick, raising the dead, he not once stepped away or deviated from the agenda that the Father had laid out, even to the point where he was praying until blood was coming from his pores. And he checked in and said, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Pursuit involves a willing action to secure or attain something. In order to go high, we must pursue God's interests above our own interests. Our own self-interest usually involve pursuing the easy way out or pursuing ourselves to a position where we are always coming out on top or in favorable position. We must stop feeding into others' interests and trying to push their agenda when we know that we haven't first checked in with God to see if it is his will and is it for it to be done. We get caught up. Things that we start out with good intentions but end up twisted, mangled, and distorted to where we don't even know how we got there, but we neglected to check in with the Father. In any venue when you have meetings, you tend to want to know what the meeting is about, right? So it is a common courtesy to provide what we call an agenda, right? And on that agenda, those who is leading the meeting, they already have pre-established what is going on and all the topics that are to be covered. And unless there is a bullet that is reserved to say additional walk-in items, it is an unspoken rule that the attendees must stick to the agenda at hand. But there's always one that comes in the meeting, and usually someone from the executive route that derails the meeting and takes it off course because he or she either did not read the agenda or didn't care what the agenda had and is bent on having his or her topic discussed. This causes angst and anxiety among the people who have attended the meeting because ultimately they were not able to accomplish what they came for in the first place. Now let's take this example and use it in our prayer life. We come to God with all of our walk-in items, not once checking to see what he has on his agenda. We take that executive mentality and rant and rave about what we want to talk about, of not taking the time to find out the agenda items that God would like to cover with us. Now, I'm not saying only take certain things to God, because we are to take everything to God in prayer. But we take everything and leave it there and not listen to the topics that he would like us to cover. Then we find ourselves missing out on direction, on answers to the things that we have been tossing and turning about, on a blessing that he is trying to reveal, a roadblock that he may be coming our way. In any case, we may have to learn to shift our agenda to God's will. And we don't know what God's will is if we first don't have a relationship, which involves a regular prayer life. Come on, y'all, we have to go high. And finally, the last of the two verses of chapter 3, Paul writes, "Do not shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective." In other words, get your faith up. Tell your neighbor, get your faith up. In the science world, it's been proven that when one of the senses is impaired, say, for example, the eyes or the ears, the brain is deprived of sensory and it reorganizes itself to support and augment other senses. In other words, it is rewired to strengthen the other senses since one or more of them is not being used. For example, y'all remember the movie Ray by Ray Charles? Yeah. Once he became blind, his hearing and touching senses were heightened, which enabled him to be one of the most notable musicians with a gifted ear that has walked the face of this earth. In our new resurrected life with Christ, we inherited a new sense called faith. And instead of our brain being rewired to incorporate that sense, we tend to overutilize and overcompensate The other five natural senses of see, touch, smell, taste, and hear. Those are the ones that get us distracted and bogged down in the dregs of life and fixated on the circumstances that are beyond our control. Like the things we may see on TV or places that we should not be looking, hearing negative things or being in the listening party of gossip or slander or any other things that we shouldn't be listening to. Being enticed by things that we smell and taste that would lead us to unhealthy behaviors. It's in all of that. I saw a meme the other day on Facebook and I cracked up. And it was a picture of Krispy Kreme donuts and hamburgers and French fries and all the junk foods that you can imagine that is good to our taste. And the caption read, "Christians be like, bless this food for the nourishment of our bodies." Now you know that ain't God, right? Our natural senses hinder us from experiencing the supernatural capabilities that we can achieve through Christ. Hebrews 11:1 states, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." So in order to get your faith up, you have to do the unthinkable and walk by the gospel of Twinkie Clark and expect the impossible, feel the intangible, and see the invisible. Come on, y'all, we got to go high. If we are serious about this resurrected life, we have to start turning down our other senses, not to the point where they are numb to the stimulus around us, because we, as Jesus directed us, still have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But we can't start with the simplest of things like, we can start with the simplest of things like choosing the high road in conversations that may go on south. Choosing to turn off things that you may see or hear that may be etched in your mind and produce negative thoughts. Turning down your plate on those things that may not be conducive to your health or well-being. If you want to go high, we are serious about this new resurrected life with Christ, we must change our frequency different from what the world is on. We can't see things from Christ's perspective if we are wrapped up in our old self. We can't see things from Christ's perspective when we have our own agendas. We can't see things from Christ's perspective if we continue to lean on the natural senses to achieve and exercise faith in order to walk out his will on earth as it is in heaven. Faith in action is where Christ is. We must go high. Now, I already hear the internal voices and the spiritual side eyes already saying, "Minister Tracy, we can't be so heavenly bound that we are no earthly good. We got to keep it real." And I, too, have been quoting it like it was a scripture. Y'all know that's not a scripture, right? Okay. It's not in the Bible, but I have been quoting it. But that statement I would use in the sense of being able to keep it real with one another and not be so high and haughty, putting yourself above others in order to relate to someone or get a message across. And while that is true of not thinking yourself higher than you ought, we literally do have to stay heavenly bound so that we are no earthly good. And when I mean no earthly good, I mean seeking first the kingdom of God so that all things can be added unto us. Not reacting to the things that are bound around us so that we are distracted from God's agenda. We do not serve a reactive God. He is proactive and he already has the solutions and the remedies to the things that we are struggling with today. And if we get our direct feed from the one that holds the king's heart in his hand, we will always be in the will of God. We will always be heavenly bound and we will always go high. That's what Jesus did. In the flesh, he was able to keep it real with the people by meeting them where they were, ministering to the needs of the people by satisfying their natural needs while still keeping his mind on the Father's will. He went high, so high that he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And if we continue to follow his path, we will too also be with him. So people, we must go high. We gotta go high, because when the enemy tries to distract us and keep us low and keep us focused on the things that are going on and keep us bound up in situations and stuff to keep us confused, we have to go high. And I know that I was in your shoes. It's the same situation that goes on in the playground, in the classroom. When people try to distract you, when people try to take you off your game, you go high. When people try to tell you you're not more than what you think you are, you tell them I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When they try to tell you that, they try to intimidate you, you tell them that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You go high. We all have to be leaders and lights within this world. We don't have a lot of time to be playing around and trying to figure out what the world is doing. We have a higher agenda, and we have to keep that agenda. Because that is our goal and our mission. And if we want to be with Christ one day, we got to go high. Let us stand to our feet.